We are up to Perek Tes. We're up to Pasuk Chaf Hei. U v'va'ol lefnei ha-melech. Okay, and when she came before the king. Okay, we are continuing to describe the purpose of this miracle. Maybe we'll just review some of the psukim to get the entire, to get the, everything in perspective. Let's start Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Read the psukim. V'kibel ha-yudim eis asher heiluch echelu la'asos ve'eis asher kosav mordechai aleihem. And the Jews, they continued. They accepted what they already have been doing until now, as we discussed yesterday at length. And the Eis Asher Kosav Mordechai Alehem, and they also accepted Mordechai's additional takonas. And now we begin to describe the miracle in more detail. Ki Haman ben Hamdasoch Agogi, Tzorer Kol HaYudim, Choshaf Al HaYudim Li Abdom. He wanted to destroy the Jewish people, the people poor who are Gerol Li Humam Uli Abdom. And by the way, before we go further in this, I just came across something new idea. In this pasuk, we discussed yesterday why it's broken up into two parts. Ki Haman ben Hamdasi Hoagogi Sarer Kol Hayudim. First, it says Choshav Al Hayudim Li Abadam. He planned to destroy them, and then the way he implemented his plan was through he peel poor Hu Hagorol Luhumam Ule Abadam. He cast lots to confuse them and to destroy them. The technique. Okay, I'm reading Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf Dalet. So we discussed yesterday that he wanted to destroy them, and the method and how he destroyed them was first through lihumam, first to confuse them, to cast doubts. Is Hashem among us? The Pasuk in Torah says, what's the Pasuk in Torah? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbei milayim. That is what Haman's main objective was. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu imayim. Is Hashem among us? That is the purpose of the lottery. The lottery is chance, luck. The entire method, the technique in bringing about the destruction of the Jewish people was through a lottery. And that lottery would arouse, would awaken Klal Yisrael to, would cause them to have doubts. Can it just be that our destruction is nothing more than a coincidence? Nothing more than just chance, luck? Because that is the entire technique. This question would be the destruction of Klal Yisrael. That's what we discussed yesterday. I saw another idea yesterday that Haman did not really need to cast the lottery. Haman knew, Haman had a plan to destroy Klal Yisrael. The Iker was Choshav Al HaYehudim Le'Abedon. All he needed to do was go to the king and say, King, I want to destroy the Jewish people, so let's do it tomorrow. Let's just put it on the calendar. We don't need to go through this procedure of casting lots to figure out what would be a good day. Just the next available appointment that you can give me, we'll do it. One of the people free, one of the soldiers available, put it on the calendar for the next Monday. Why? Now, Haman thought that if he'll do this, he will definitely succeed. There is no question. He will succeed. He will inflict enormous harm. But Haman wanted to be thorough. Haman wanted his success to be 100%. Haman was afraid that if he would just go out and destroy the Jewish people on the next available day, he would wipe out 95% of Klal Yisrael. There would be 5% or even 1% that would survive. And Haman was wise enough to know that even if a small amount of Klal Yisrael remains, from that will sprout, will regrow, Klal Yisrael will regrow, and will come forth once again. Therefore, the casting of the lots was in order to, it should be a thorough, complete destruction. So that's why it's broken up into two parts. Choshav al ha-Yehudim le'abadam. His plan was to destroy them. That's all he needed to do. But he went v'hipil pur ha-gorol l'humam u'le'abadam. Now we describe the word l'humam is confusion. V'yoham e'es ofan mark, what's the word? Ofan mark of osaf. V'yom. So yom there means bilbul. Bilbul means confused.
Demoralize.
The word. So we discussed yesterday, luhumam. We discussed it. So this is a hard word to translate. It can mean different things depending on the context. But we described yesterday luhumam meaning confusion. He wanted to confuse them. But luhumam can also have a connotation of a destruction. When, especially when you combine the word luhumam with the word le'ula abdam, it has the connotation a thorough, complete obliteration. Not just l'abdam, I want to destroy them. You want to destroy, you know, you're going to miss. You're going to knock out 90%, but they're going to be survivors. And from those survivors, give it a generation or two, they'll, Klal Yisrael will come back stronger than ever. But, yeah?
Haman was knowledgeable about the Jewish faith.
Yes.
Hashem had promised he would never destroy Klal Yisrael completely. Somewhere, I don't know where.
The Nitzach Yisrael Yishaka, Yishaya.
The Mabuch.
Okay. So, no, the Jewish people, not the Mabuch.
So there are no guarantees. All of these promises are all still dependent upon Klal Yisrael doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at least to a minimal degree.
But I remember the Ramban says the reason Hashem made us the smallest of all the nations is
that no... miraculous survival.
But there would be survivors.
Okay, so it's not nuchrach. It's true, but the Gemara also says tamu zuchusavos. During the time of the Bayis Shurishon, the zuchusavos came to an end. This that we have a tradition, the Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, it's still conditional. There still must be some minimal degree of loyalty towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us to be guaranteed that we will not be destroyed. At this point in time, we were in the lowest of the low. V'enochi haster aster panai. It was 70 years after the Churban. Klal Yisrael was celebrating their own destruction. They were nene from the Suda. They bowed down to the Tzilim Tamar Nebuchadnezzar. And Chazal seemed to indicate that if not for the fact that Mordechai was rallied Klal Yisrael, Lech Kenos Gezuntai Neskola Yehudim Vitzum Olai, Klal Yisrael would have come to an end. Oh, what are all the promises? So many promises. The Haftach of the Avos. We had a good run. We were around for 1,000, 2,000 years, whatever it was. So that was it. That the world maybe would have come to an end not that much longer after. The world will come. We know that today the world can come to an end very quickly. A few Meshugayim press a couple of buttons, it's over. The whole world comes to an end. It could have happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world for a purpose, that the Shri Kavod Shemayim, Klal Yisrael is his agent. They are his ambassador to this world, and it's conditional. And if not for the fact of Lech Kenosis Kol HaYudim, would have come to an end. Okay, so here I just want to bring out this idea that Haman, this is a different idea, and he cites the idea in the Mishnah Sozov, he cites it from someone, I don't remember who he quotes it from, is that Haman wanted to bring out the plan immediately, without any elaborate technique or goyrol, but he knew that he would not succeed 100%, he would succeed 99%, and the few survivors would live to recreate Klal Yisrael in its full glory at some point in time. Therefore, the reason why he took hold of this goyrol, mazel, this koyach of making a goyrol to look into the mazel and to see when he would be successful and when Klal Yisrael would be vulnerable was on the 13th day of Adar. And that's why Luhumam Ule Abdam, when we take those two words together, it has a connotation of a complete obliteration with no survivors whatsoever. Just the word La Abdam means to destroy them. To destroy them means Ruba Kikulai. 95% is good enough. It's not what he wanted. He wanted Luhumam Ule Abdam, and therefore it was necessary to Lihip Ul Pur Huragarol. Yeah. Bilbul. Bilbul means...
That's not a destruction. That's not a... That doesn't mean no survival. I can't figure out where that could come from.
All right, we have to look...
Yeah, I'm sorry. V'hamam me'umah gedolah ani shamdam in Kisavo. So basically, that's what will cause a total destruction. V'hamam me'umah gedolah
ani shamdam.
Till it will facilitate ani shamdam.
Right, but it doesn't...
It doesn't necessarily, the word by itself mean the right. It's an ingredient. It's an ingredient which it's a steroid. It's a steroid. It's a steroid that's added to the mix, which will make it so that the destruction will be complete.
Because it's the opposite of unity.
Right, okay.
Unity is
okay.
Divide and conquer.
But it's something which is going to make it complete. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk now says, Uvi voyolif nehanach. This is very hard. When Esther went before the king, Omar im ha-sefer, It's written in the Sefer, we'll see Rashi, Yoshuv Machashavto Hara'ah, his evil thought, Asher Chashav Ala HaYehudim Al Roshosh, it's written in the Sefer that his thought, the thought that he planned to do to the Klai Yisrael should be returned upon his head, and ultimately V'salu Osov V'yespanov Al Hoy. So this is a complex pasuk. Let's see Rashi in the Targum, one thing at a time. Rashi, what is going to be Uvil Vayoh? The Mapikei, when she entered before the king, who is the she? So it's obvious referring to Esther. Esther el Hamelech lehischanein lo. Now the problem, what are we referring to? Which time? Which event are we referring to? The first time she went before the king, or the second time she went before the king? This is not so simple. The first time she went before the king, she risked her life. She risked her life because she was uninvited. The rule is, if you come to the Shar HaPnimi without an invitation, there's only one law: the person is to be put to death unless the king extends his royal scepter. So she was moiser nefesh to go before the king. The second time she went before the king was at the party. At that point in time, she was not in a state of sakana. But that is where she was lehischanein lo. She made a request. She begged the king to still do the second party. The first party was to lead the second party. The second party is where she made the request. So it's not clear from Rashi if when it says here, uvil voyoh, is it referring to, and she went before the king in the grand total of three times, or really four times. Because after the story of the Megillah was over, she went back to the king for a fourth time and asked the king, may we continue what we've done today to do tomorrow? We discussed all the various additional things that she requested from the king should be done. And the king pretty much, he didn't give her 100%. So Sacha Kol, she went before the king to make a request of him four times. The first time to come to the party, the second time to come to another party, the third was the party, and then the fourth time was after the miracle was over, after Haman was put to death, she made a request that they should continue to celebrate one more day, continue the process for one more day. Rashi over here is silent. Rashi over here just says, Esther el Hamelech lehischanein lo. Does not tell us which one of the four times we are referring to. Now, Omar Emma Sefer, Omar Hamelech Befiv. So Omar here means, who is the subject of the word Omar? The king. The Melech said Befiv, Vitzivo, Lichtav Sfarim, he gave the command that new books should be written, new letters should be written, Shatashuv Machashavto Hara'ah B'Rosho, that new Sfarim should be written, which will give the Klal Yisrael the right to defend themselves, which basically will boomerang, cause the decree to boomerang upon the enemies of Klal Yisrael. So now we go back to the pasuk, we can read the pasuk again, Uvavoyah. On the Rosh of Haman, the evil plan of Haman should boomerang upon his own head. His plan to destroy Klal Yisrael should come upon him, his family, and all of his associates. They should all be destroyed. So now we read the pasuk again, Uvavayah. When she, Esther, came, she entered, Lifnei HaMelech, and she made these requests to save Klal Yisrael. Omar, the king, the Melech Achashverosh, he issued a decree, im ha-sefer, with books. Not the sefer does not mean according to the parish of, does not mean according to the parish that I told you originally, the Megillah. Im ha-sefer means Omar, he made a decree through dispatching letters. Omar, he issued a decree that Klal Yisrael has the right to defend themselves on the 13th day of Adar, im ha-sefer, not just an oral declaration. It was put in writing, it was sealed with his signet ring, and it was dispatched to the entire population. And what was the essence? What was the essence of this sefer, of this new decree? It was Yoshuv Machashavto Hara'ah, that the evil thought of Haman and the enemies shall boomerang. Asher Choshav Ala Yehudim Al Rosho, back to himself. He should be hung on the same gallows that he prepared for Mordechai. And indeed, that's exactly what happened. This Salu also V'Yesponov Al Hoetz. Okay, now let's see the Targum. The Targum has a few more little hidden details. Targum Pasuk Chaf Hei says, V'chad Alas Esther, and when Esther entered, Kodom Malka, When Esther entered before the king, Amar la Malka, the king said to her, Yisuv zim yone bisha, it should return the evil thought, the zimya means the plan, the evil plan, to chashiv lemebad lebor, the chai uli Yehudo in, that Haman planned to do to Mordechai and the Jews, al rei shei upon his head, the yitz levun yosei, and he was hung, yosei v'yos b'no, now this is the future tense, the yitz levun. It doesn't say that there's, in fact, there are different girsos. I saw in the Mishpatos, he quotes from the Torah Shlema. I don't even know the Torah Shlema on Megillah, but it seems there is. There's a Torah Shlema on Megillah Sester. That's what it seems. And it says there that there are different nuschos in the Targum, because this Targum seems to be grammatically incorrect. It says here, Visalu, also, that's in the past tense, that Haman and the sons were hung. But the Yitz Levun means they should be hung. Yosei the Yospino al Kesa. And indeed, in the other Girsos, so the Targum, it's not written in the future tense, it's written in the past tense, to be consistent with the grammar of the Pasuk. Yeah?
I thought that Haman was hanged immediately.
He was hanged immediately.
So then they would not have waited to issue proclamations and everything else. So it makes sense for it to have been in the past tense.
Well, that's what the Pasuk says, exactly.
I'm saying, but you said...
The Targum here is very difficult, because the Targum...
But that doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
What was the first time she went? She went to Ahasuerus.
The first time, but he didn't give the decree at that one moment in time. Wait, were you going to say that what? V'chad
al... No, but they had the Mishkan. She said, this is Haman.
Yeah.
Haman HaRasha.
So he issued a decree that he should be hung now. The king issued a decree. But that's not what... But he seems to be translating the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'salu oso, V'yesponav aloetz. The word V'salu means in the past tense. We're now describing this incident from the very end. The Megillah is over. And we're just summarizing the Megillah. Esther went lefnei HaMelech. Omar, the king said, Ima Sefer. The Targum, very interestingly, the Targum doesn't even translate the words Ima Sefer. Something over here very mysterious about this Targum. Rashi told us the word Sefer means letters. Omar, he issued a new law, Ima Sefer, that was put in writing and dispatched to the entire population that the Jews can defend themselves, and thus by defending themselves automatically, what the result would be is that the Yoshuv Machashavto Horoa Shechosh Valiyudim Al Rosho, the evil plan that Haman tried to bring upon, to perpetuate upon the Jewish people, now boomerang that came upon him and himself. Targum is a little bit more vague. Kad alas Esther kada malka, amar la malka, Yisuv zim yoinei bisha, dechashiv l'neva l'mordechai u'lihudo in, al reishe. Notice there is no mention whatsoever about the Sefer. All it says here is that the evil plan should come back upon the plan that what he wanted to do to Mordechai and to Yehud could put on his head. What happened to the word Sefer? The Yitzlu.
More than that, Rashi says she came with Hanan. According to Targum, the Melech was proactive. She came in and he said, Haman is horrible, he wanted to kill Mordechai, we're going to...
The Targum is leaving out the word lehischanein. Okay, indeed, so that's he has a development. I don't understand the details, but he wants to say that that's the machlokes between Rashi and the Targum. Which uvivoya are we referring to? Esther entered before the king four times. The deal that you just made is that since Rashi adds the word lehischanein lo, and the second time, Rashi does not say the word, the Targum does not say any mention of the word Lehischanein lo. She entered, so he wants to suggest, that the Mishpat Zav, that the Targum learns that the Poshup Shad in the Pasuk refers to the first time Esther came before the king. This was the Mesiras Nefesh of Esther. When you look back at the Megillah and you want to define where exactly was Esther Moiser Nafsha for Klal Yisrael? So the answer is the first time. And because, and in fact, Mordechai told her, you better go already. We're in very great danger. Esther said, what's the rush? We have 11 months. I have not been invited to see the king already 30 days.
Wait
until I get a formal invitation to come before the king. Because if I go now uninvited, first of all, he's going to have relations with me. I'm no longer going to be begeder an onus. I'm no longer going to be permitted to marry you, to remain married to you. And number two, I'm putting my life in mortal danger, because if you go uninvited before the king, you're chayav misa. When she entered, when she made the request of Achashverosh at the party number one and party number two and after the Megillah was over and she came before him, she was not in a state of danger. If Achashverosh would have said to her no, so no is no. But she would continue to live. She was the queen. Nothing would happen to her. So those three moments when she came before the king to make a request of the melech was not an act of mesiras nefesh. The only time when she put her life in danger was the very first time. And this is where Mordechai twisted her arm and said, you better go now. So if now at the end of the Megillah we want to go put Esther on a pedestal and we want to go give her credit and we want to describe her mesiras nefesh, what are we describing? So the Mishnah Zav seems to say this machlokes between Rashi and the Targum, Pashup Shah and the Pasuk. The Targum says, V'chad Alas Esther called the Malka when she entered. Does not say what she did when she entered. She just came, which seemingly would by default refer to the very first time when she was Meiser Nefesh. Whereas, according to Rashi, he adds the words Lehischanelo. The Lehischanelo did not take place at meeting number one. It did not even take place at meeting number two. It took place at meeting number three. Meeting number three and meeting number four. We're not focusing on the Mesiras Nefesh of Esther. Now, will that translation, that uvavoya, will it affect the interpretation of the rest of the pasuk? Maybe it will. Maybe that's why, according to Rashi, since we're referring over here to meeting number three, when she actually made the request, the response was immediate. Yes, send out new letters that give Klal Yisrael the right to defend themselves. So when it says Sefer, Sefer refers to the books, the Svarim, that were dispatched to the population. But according to the Parish of the Targum, if we're suggesting that the word Uvavoya Lifnei HaMelech refers to the very first time that she went to be Meiser Nafsha on behalf of Klal Yisrael, at that moment in time, he did not dispatch letters. So then when it says Im HaSefer, we can suggest it means the Megillah. Omar Im HaSefer. She went before the king, she began the process, and that process was Omar. The king went, and ultimately he went and he changed his mind and gave Klal Yisrael permission to defend themselves. All of that which the king Omar, according to the Targum, is all to be read Im HaSefer, this Sefer. Sefer of Megillas Esther. Okay, so the word Sefer is a hard word to translate, and Uvavoya is a hard word to translate. Targum and Rashi is a bit clearer. Rashi, Uvavoya, is Lehischanelo, meeting number three. Menela, meeting number three, that's already, you know, you've already gone through three quarters of the Megillah. So what's the Sefer? The Sefer means the letters that Achashverosh sent out to the entire world. Rashi, Targum, says, Uvavoya, we're not up to Paragimel. We're at the end of the Megillah. We're only a quarter way through the Megillah. When she went to the king the very first time. So the Im HaSefer then means the book of Megillah Esther. You can see all of the different things which unfolded through the Sefer. Omar HaSefer. The Targum also says that it was Achashverosh, but it does not prevent us from translating the word Sefer to refer to the book of the Megillah. Okay. And again, this is a very hard word, V'yitz Levon, it's B'loshon Osid, even though the Pasuk says V'slo in the past tense. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Chavav, Al-Kain, therefore, Kor'u La'yomim Ho'ele Furim Al-Shem HaPur. Therefore, they called these days Furim Al-Shem HaPur. Al Kain, therefore, Al Kol Divrei Hoigeres Hazos. Therefore, now this is a little bit hard to translate. We'll see over here the words of Rashi in a moment. Therefore, on all of the words of this letter. Umoru al kocha, umor higia alayhem. Okay, let's go very slow. Rashi, Targum, and they have a long medrash which really puts the pasuk in the proper frame. First Rashi, Alkain, therefore, Alkain, al kol divrei hoigeres hazos. Therefore, nikbu hayomim hoele. These days have been established. Ulekach, therefore, nichtevo lodas doros haboim. So let's again see the words of the pasuk. Alkain, therefore. Karu layomim hoele purim al shem apur. Alkain, therefore, the second Alkain. Al kol divrei hoigeres hazos, al because of this higeres, means because of this, the words of this higeres, the holiday has been established. Rashi is telling us that Iker,
the other way around, the holiday was established, and that's why we wrote the Megillah for future generations.
So. Nobody's saying al kol because of what it says in this Megillah, the holiday was established. Alkain, what is Alkain referring to? The reason why we have a holiday. Alkain, Rashi says, Nikbu Hayomim Ho'ele.
I think it's referring to the beginning of the pasuk, that they called it Purim Al Shem Apur.
That's one thing. That's one.
Alkain, because of that, we have the Igeres. No?
Alkain, so look at Rashi. Alkain, what does Rashi say? Nikbu Alkain Al Kol Divrei Ho'igeres Hazos, because of the words, what would appear in this higeres, nikbu hayomim ho'ele, these days have been established, ulekach nichtevo lodas l'doros haboim.
Only Mordechai and Esther knew what was going on behind the scenes.
And it was written.
Nobody else understood. If he didn't write this, nobody would know that there was such a miracle. He had to elucidate to everybody exactly what went on. So he wanted them to understand that God came and said.
Okay, but what is the Alkain? Alkain, therefore, what? Is Rashi seems to be saying that.
I think
that's why I'm writing about it, so everybody knows.
Okay.
I think Rashi's talking about two different points. The Alkain, Rashi's saying, Nikwa Yomamayla.
Okay.
And then Al Kod the Brei Hegeras Hazos, Velachin, Nikwa.
Okay, fine. That's not really what I meant to say. But I meant to say is there's something that's missing from the pasuk. You read the pasuk, it doesn't make sense. It's a pasuk where it's we refer to it's choser. You're missing words in the pasuk. The words you have to end is alkein nichtu nikvu hayamim ho'ela. Because of everything that we have read above now, because of avoyul lefnei amelcham amasef yashub, this entire thing, the yom tov has been established. That's number one. Number two, what else? Number two, what else are we adding into the pasuk? Nichtuva. It was written lodas tadaros haboyim. It was written for all future generations to know. Al kol divrei hoigeres hazos. In this Megillah. This Megillah is a record for the event that has happened. Okay, but Rashi is adding in two different things that are not in the pasuk. He's coming to explain to us why the holiday has been established and why there is a Megillah. The Megillah is a record that we have to know exactly what happened, and we have to understand why the holiday has been established.
Nobody knew Vavoyel HaMelech all these times that Esther came to focus on Esther.
It was a hidden thing.
You should know it wasn't just Achashverosh rose up and decided to kill Haman.
Okay.
It was through her behest.
Okay, now he goes on. Now Rashi now goes on. Now this is very hard. Rashi and explains over here the next part of the pasuk. Umoru al kocha, umohigi alehem. There are three different parts of this expression. There is ra'u. What did they see? Al kocha means why. And mohigia, what happened? Now the word rohu here, Rashi is going to explain, it's based upon the medrash, does not mean to see. It means to do. Rohu here is loosely translated, what did they see fit in their eyes to do? It has a connotation of doing something. And the only reason why they did was because kocha, because of an event. There was a trigger that that caused them to do something very specific, and then there were consequences. The consequences are described with the words Umo Higia Aleihem. So Rashi over here explains as follows. Morahu Oisei Hamaasim Ha'ele She'asum. Rashi emphasizes over here that the word Ra'u does not only mean to see, it means they saw fit in their eyes to do. And then Rashi, he leaves out the word kocha. Kocha obviously means what he's going to explain in the next verse, because of an event. Ubo higi alehem, and what were the consequences of their actions?
So the first part, the rod was to explain why they did what they did.
No, that's the kocha. Kocha is why they did.
No, that's how they went about it.
No. That's what Rashi is going to say. Kocha means why. Rohu means what they did. And the nehigia is the consequences. Rohu means they did something. They saw fit in their eyes to do something. Al kocha, because of an event. Because of a reason. Kocha is the reason. Let's see Rashi. Umagilehem. More roho Achashverosh. Now, Rovi, what did Achashverosh see? Why did he see fit in his eyes? Shenishtamesh bichlei hakodesh. Why did Achashverosh make a party? Why did he make a party? And at this party, did he put on the big day kahuna? So Rohu means he did. He did something. He did something by wearing the big day kahuna, and he was wearing his garments. Umohi, now, and kocha means what happened. So I'm going to read you the medrash in a few moments. Because he made a calculation that it's been 70 years since the churban of the Beis HaMikdash, and the prophecy of Yirmiyah has not come true. Therefore, now he decided it's time to take out the clothing of the big day kahuna and wear them and celebrate the destruction of Klal Yisrael. Umohi giya lehem. What was the consequence for this sin? Sheba Satan v'rokat b'nehem danced among them, for Harikas Vashti and Kilvashti. Another example. Example number two. Umo ro Haman sheniskano b'Mordechai. What did Haman see to get jealous of Mordechai? What triggered the jealousy of Haman against Mordechai to go and to Achashverosh and say, I want to destroy Mordechai? And it's not just Mordechai I want to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. That was because Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman. What happened to him? What was the consequence? Tolu Osovi Espanov, he was hanged with his children. Third example, Mo Ro Mordechai Shlo Yichra Velo Yishtachaveh. What did Mordechai see in his eyes? What did he see fit in order to do? Not to bow down to Haman. The reason of kocha, because Haman was made himself into an idol. He put on his clothing, he wrapped around his body in avodah zarah. Umo, and what were the consequences? The consequence of this was that Haman got jealous, and Haman got angry, and he made a decree. A fourth example: Umo ra'asa Esther shezimna laHaman. What did Esther do? Why did she go invite Haman to the party? It's because kocha, because Mordechai told her to do so. And what was the result? The result was. The decree was rescinded. Okay, now let me read now. To elaborate, the Rashi over here just being very much makatif what it says in the Medrash. The Medrash really elaborates and adds in a lot more points. Yes. Let me find the Medrash. Give me one moment. Okay, the Medrash is the Lekach Toiv. No. I'm confusing.
Google.
No, maybe. It's not even the Medrash. It's the Gemara, I believe. It's the Gemara Megillah of Yutas. Okay, so it's better than the Medrash. It's a Gemara. Let me read you the Gemara. Mo rohu al kocho mo higi alehem. So Dover Acher of Huna Omar mehocha. This pasuk is the source of the machloikis in the Gemara. From where do we lay the Megillah from? Where is the starting point of the reading of the Megillah? We know that it's our custom that we read the entire Megillah from the very beginning by Hibi Me'achashverosh. However, the Gemara presents a number of opinions. One opinion says, indeed, that's the beginning. One says, no, you start with Achar Hadvarim Bo'ele Gidal Hamelech Achashverosh. The second opinion says that, the third opinion, we lay from Balayla Hahu. Another opinion says, we lay from Ish Yehudi Mordechai. Everyone has a different opinion as to where we are required to begin reading the Megillah from. Everyone agrees that you have the kosher Megillah, must have the entire thing. You know, when you lay in the Torah on Shabbos, you only lay in one parasha, but you have to have in front of you a kosher Sefer Torah. When you lay in from the Nevi'im, you only lay in a perek or two. You don't lay in the entire Navi. You just lay in one section. So we would think that when you lay in the Megillah on Purim, you don't have to lay in the entire Megillah. You have a kosher Megillah in front of you, and you just lay in from a certain section. That lots of different opinions. So the Gemara over here says that all of the opinions derive the source why they chose to lay in only a certain section of the Megillah based upon this very pasuk, because this very pasuk is telling us the essence of the miracle. Ma ro'u al kocha u'ma higia aleihem. What did the individual see? And that, what did he see? What was the kocha? What was the reason that he saw fit to do? You have to read it backwards. What's the kocha? What happened in this individual's life that ra'u? They saw something which triggered the desire to do something. Umahi gi'alayhem, and what was the consequence? So each person in the Megillah has a different perspective. Esther has a perspective. Mordechai had his perspective. Haman had his perspective. And Achashverosh had his perspective. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had his perspective. Everyone had a different perspective. When you want to figure out the translation of these words, that's the part of the Megillah that you're going to read from. And here the Megillah elaborates. So we have here, Kol HaTanayim Shenechliku Shem B'Mishnah Mehechon. It's a little bit of a bear he's eating over here in Chayiv Adam Likros as a Megillah Lemdua Mipasek Zeh. All of the Amorim and the Gemara that have a debate as to where we begin the Megillah, they all derive their halacha from this pasuk. Moru Al Kochu Mohigi Alehem HaMegillah Nichtava v'nikreis kidei lehodia ladaros moru. The Megillah was written for all generations, so that we should remember. Moru ba'osa hazman she'osu ma she'osu. What did these individuals see in this generation that caused them to do what they did? Umeforesh, and the pasuk explains al kocha osu. You know why they saw it's because of this reason. This reason, this event, is what triggered them to do what they did. Ulufareish mohigia al ha'isim, and then the Megillah goes on to describe what were the consequences. The nechleku beperish ha'pasuk yifi shemavar v'holich, and the Gemara goes on to describe all the different opinions. Man de amar kula. The opinion that holds that we have to learn the Megillah from beginning to end, from Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, he will translate this pasuk as follows: Mor roho Achashverosh v'yoatzav. What did Achashverosh see? Shenishtamesh bakelim. That caused him to use the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, Shel Beis Hamikdash, al kocha. You know why? What's the reason? Al kocha. What's the kocha? The reason? Mishum dechoshev shivim shenin v'loy ifruk. The kocha of Achashverosh was the calculation he made from the churban of the Beis Hamikdash. From not the churban of the Beis Hamikdash, from the churban of the Beis Hamikdash. He calculated 70 years, and nothing has changed. That was the kocha, and because of that kocha, he was ro'u to get dressed up in the big day koyin gadol and make a party and invite Klal Yisrael and to celebrate their end. And what happened to Achashverosh and his Yoatzov? Tikotal Vashti. Vashti was killed. Be'avoin zeshel chil klei hamikdash nergo Vashti. And then the entire story of the Megillah unfolded. This is really a Gemara with he's eating in some words of Be'er. Yeah, Rashi is being very makatzer. That's why I'm reading you the Medrash, because the Medrash over here elaborate. And especially the main part of the Medrash says that Rashi does not fill in, and which leads to a lot of confusion, is the translation of the word kocha. All Rashi says morohu and mahigia, but Rashi doesn't really explain the word kocha. The Gemara, it makes it very clear, the kocha is the reason, is the trigger. There was an event that happened that was a trigger for an individual to do something. And the way we describe the word do is with the word ru'u. They saw fit in their eyes to do a certain thing. Next, Umad Yamar Me'ish Yehudi, the opinion of the Gemara that says that the Megillah should be learned from Ish Yehudi Hayabu Shan Habira with Mordechai, he will translate this pasuk as follows. Mo ro Mordechai de'ikni behaman. What did Mordechai see? What was the trigger that caused him to provoke Haman? Why did Mordechai go lahaches and stand in front of the palace and wait for Haman to come out and refuse to bow down? If Mordechai wanted, Mordechai could have ran away. Mordechai could have went to Eretz Yisrael. Mordechai could have hid. But something happened in the life of Mordechai that Mordechai, it was a trigger lahaches to go and stand in front of Haman and refuse to bow down. The answer is al kocha. You know why? al bishavei nafshei avodah zarah, because Haman made himself into an idol, so Mordechai wanted to undo the chait of bowing down to the tzelem that happened during the time of the Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted to be misaking that chait, and the way to misaking the chait was to put himself in the same exact situation.
Because since he was his eved,
it was a tigon. Yeah, but it was more than that, because if Mordechai really wanted, the Klal Yisrael had complaints against Mordechai. What do you have to go provoke Haman? Just run away. Just get a hold of his schedule and just don't be there. He lahachis went to the palace at the time when Haman would come out in order bedafka not to bow down. And by doing so, that would be a tikkun for the chait of Klal Yisrael where they bow down to the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. So the kocha was the fact that Haman made himself into an avodah zarah, and that's what caused Rahu Mordechai to refuse to bow down. The miracle of Purim. Third opinion. According to the opinion that says that the Megillah begins with the pasuk of Paragimel. Why? So he will take this pasuk and translate it differently. What did Haman see? What's the reason why Haman was jealous of all of the Jews and went to Achashverosh and enacted the Gezerah to destroy Klal Yisrael? Al kocha mishum de Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachave uma higia alehem v'salu also v'yaspon av aloeitz uman diyama v'balai lahu. What do we read the uman diyama that says that we read the meal from v'balai lahu? Moru achashverosh l'cha v'yasef ha-zichronos. He also interprets in reference to achashverosh, but the question was, why did achashverosh demand that the sefer ha-zichronos be brought before him? Al kocha, it's because Esther diz minte Esther l'chaman b'hadei. He caused Achashverosh to get jealous. And what was the result? The result was so and so. Okay, so therefore that's basically, we have a very, very complex pasuk according to the Medrash. We're taking this pasuk to review the pasuk. Alkein karli moyel Purim al shem hapur. These days are called Purim al shem hapur. We don't call it Yom Tov of Goyrolos. We call it Purim. We're going to discuss it in a moment. Al shem hapur alkein. And then the second alkein is coming to explain the reason. The second alkein appears to be a double alkein. Therefore, the holiday was established because of everything that we read above. Number two, everything was put in record, is recorded in this letter, so that we know for all future generations exactly what happened. Al kol divrei hogeres gezos. And then it goes on to say, moro umor al kocho magia lehem. Three parts, ra'u, kocho, higia. Who is the subject? Whoever is the subject of this pasuk will have a halachic nafkamina as to where we are required to begin to start reading the Megillah from. So it's a mouthful in this pasuk. Glad we're going on this pasuk. Okay, there's another important thing. I think this is a, I don't remember who says this. One of the first people said, yes, the very obvious question, why don't we call the Megillah Purim? Why don't we call it by its Hebrew name? We should call it Goyrolos. We discussed yesterday why it's called Purim is because the poor was the Luhumam. This we discussed yesterday was because this was the goal of Haman. Haman wanted to cause us to ask the question, Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu Im Oyin. This was Haman's goal. He wanted to cast doubt. He was going to destroy us anyway, but he wanted to destroy us through a technique of causing us to wonder, is Hashem really among us? How could it be the average person, Klal Yisrael, will sit back and think, just chance? How could it be? It's just statistics? Just chance that he picked the day on the calendar and that's when we're going to be destroyed? How could it be such a thing that our destruction is left to chance? There has to be something more significant about Chorban than just chance. That's exactly the Hodei al Karcha Baderach. This was Haman. And therefore, the fact that we prevailed means that is that certainty. The essence of Purim is certainty. There is no doubt. We are 100% certain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed among us. So therefore we call it Purim. Okay, very nice, very nice. But why do we use the Hebrew, the Persian name? Why don't we use the Hebrew name? Goyolas. So the answer is because we want to allude to the Geula Ho'asida, based upon the pasuk that we discussed last week, at the time of Mashiach comes, V'lo yoymar oid chai Hashem asher hela v'asher hevi espinei Yisrael mimitzrayim, elo yoymar chai Hashem v'asher hela v'hevi espinei Yisrael mi'eretz tzofoin, from the north, from Bavel. This, and that is the reason why we continue to use the name the Chodashim of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul. We use the Persian names, the Kati names. So we bidafka, when we want to commemorate the miracle, which is the Aschalto de Geula. Purim was the last of all the miracles. It's the last of all the miracles. It's the miracle which really begins the beginning of the Geula process. This miracle was the opening for Klal Yisrael to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis Sheni is what is really just a hachana for the Bayis Shlishi. In the big picture of things, the Yontif of Purim is the Aschalta de Geula. It's the Tzmichas Keren David. It's the Aschalta de Geula. And since the way that the Geula is described in the Navi is V'lo yoyimar oid chai Hashem asher helvi asher hevi es meis shol mi'eretz Mitzrayim. But we're going to focus on the Geula that we've come from the Eretz Tzofin. So the Eretz, we want to refer to the Geula in their own language to emphasize that this is the Geula from the Eretz Tzofin. Just like we use the Persian names for the months, we're going to use the names the. We're going to use the term, the Persian term, to allude to it's a geula from Gaul. It's the ultimate geula. Okay, now another issue is, why is it called Purim Lashon Ram? Why is it not called Pur? It should be called the Yom Tov of Pur. So the answer is, this is a very common answer, is that every lottery is really, it's good for one person, but it's bad for someone else. Haman's lottery, he cast a poor. So he thought that the poor, the lottery, he won, and we lost. And we win the Powerball. What are you basically doing? You're taking everyone else's money. How do they have $1.5 billion to pay the winner? The $1.5 million comes from everyone else. Everyone contributes. Everyone is contributing. So the poor, it was a win. What he thought was a win for Haman, but was a loss for Klal Yisrael. That was the perspective from the point of view of Haman. But the truth was, it was really just the opposite. On this day was the poor. Poor Haman nepach lipurenu. The poor of Haman. We say this in Asher Haini. What's the exact nesuch?
That's where I was going. Ki poor Haman nepach
lipurenu. Ki poor Haman nepach lipurenu. Haman made a poor. He thought it was for himself, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also making the lottery, and the lottery was just the opposite. It was for us. So therefore, it's really a double lottery. It was a lottery for the enemy, but it was a lottery for Klal Yisrael. We won. We survived. So therefore, we refer to the holiday in the double, in the Beloshon Rabim, Purim, and not Pur.
And that's how it always is with Yaakov and Esau. It's always
Kishazeh kam zeh neifal.
It's called a zero-sum game.
Kishazeh kam zeh neifal. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. We do the targum. We do the targum. Pasuk Chavav. Targum says, "Begin came therefore, karu liyomayo ilain puraya al shum." Paisa. Period. Then it goes on to say, begin Kay. Now here is also where the Targum embellishes the Pasuk. Targum is taking note that the Pasuk is missing a couple of words. Begin Kay, therefore, notrin le zman shata bishata. Therefore, we observe this holiday every single year. Every single year we observe this holiday. Exactly what Rashi says, those words, notrin le zman shata b'shata, is equivalent to what Rashi said, nikbu'u hayomim ho'ele. These days have been established as a permanent holiday in our calendar. Begin, Cain. Now notice over here, Rash, the Targum, adds the word begin, Cain, a third time. Okay, just like what Rashi did. Begin Cain, the yifar simun yoimei nisaya, upiskame megilto hoda. Because of this, it was made public the days of miracle, upiskame Megilta, the text of the Megillah, Hadah, li'ishtema'a, to make public and to be publicly known, l'chol ama beis Yisrael, l'mehevehoin yod'in, so it should be known, mocha, period. And then it goes on to say, mochazu l'mikba yomi purai hoilein, why these days have been established, begin came because, again, we have already a fourth time the word begin came, this avid b'chol nisal Mordechai v'Esther, miracles were done to Mordechai v'Esther, v'yedun purkona dimtas l'chon, and they should know about the miracles that have come to them. Okay, so before salvation. So we have to decipher this targum. The targum basically seems to be saying that the word al-kain should be repeated really four times in the pasuk. Isn't that what the Targum said? Begin came four times. Four times. So we read the pasuk again, and according to the interpretation of the Targum, Al-Kain, therefore, because of the miracle that we mentioned in the previous pasuk, Karu la yomim ela purim, al-shem apur. Okay, very good. Al-Kain, second Al-Kain, is the holiday was established permanently. Next, Al-Kain, the Megillah was written. The Megillah was written, Al-Kain. What do you mean? What?
It says Al-Kol. It means Al-Kain.
Yeah. Al-Kol. Okay. Al-Kain. The okay. Oh, I say. Okay.
There's Al-Shem, but there's no Al-Kain.
Okay. Al-Kol. But the Targum is translating Al-Kol. Okay. I didn't realize that. Al-Kol is another Al-Kain. Al-Kol. It's equivalent in our vernacular to therefore. Divrei Hoigeres Hazos. The miracle was put in writing. Was put in record in this book. And now we have an invisible time. Another time he says, Al-Kain. For what reason? Umoro'u is basically another Al-Kain, he seems to be saying, according to Targum. I think he's taking the word Umoro'u is equivalent to another Al-Kain. If you look at the Targum.
Al-Kahlo is the
Al-Kahlo. Al-Kahlo, okay. Umoro'u. Let's go back to the end of the Targum. Umo Chazu L'nikba Yom Purgal Yilein Lemehavon Yadin Mo Chazul Mikva Yom Purai Hoylein Begin Kane the Sabbath Begin Kane Mo Chazul Lemikva Yom Purai Hoylein. But we already said that Mo Chazul Lemikva Yom Purai Hoylein Begin Kane because Al Kocha because of this Aved Bahonisa Lemordechai V'Yester V'Yedun and they should know Purkona Dimtas Lahon the salvation that came to them. It's a little bit confusing. The end of the Targum is not really reading the words exactly into the words of the pasuk. There seems to be some repetition. I don't know more than that. But the word Al-Kain over here, it's repeated in multiple forms. Al-Kain, Al-Kain, Al-Kol, Al-Kocha, which is also a similar expression. Four different references to Al. Al, 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 Al. Four times the word Al appear in connection with a Kain. What?
Al is five times. Al-Shem would seem to be...
Where's Al-Shem? There's no Al-Shem in this pasuk.
Al-Shem, Hapur.
Al-Shem.
Al-Kain, Karu, Laimim, Al... Okay, Al-Kain. So the Al is there's another time, you're right. Okay, it's five times. There's Al-Kain, Al-Shem, Al-Kain, Al-Kol, Al-Kocha. Five Al's. There must be something very deep going on over here. That's what the Targum and Rashi are struggling. The Rashi are definitely
going to give you a sequence of events that led you to this point. And that's why we have to write this all down, because nobody's going to. The average person is never going to see
all of these events.
The background here, what got us here. You have to understand why you survived.
Okay.
Tshuva, this happened, and this is how we handled it.
Right. So there's a chain of events, a chain of logic.
You want to get the whole picture.
Okay, but Sacha called five Al's, and it's explaining the reason for the name of the holiday, the reason why it was established for all generations, the reason why it was put in writing, and the purpose of the writing. The purpose of the writing is, the purpose of the emphasis is who the individual is, Moru, Al-Kochu, Mohigi, Alehem, those three parts of the pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk of Zayin. Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim is the kriv v'chsiv. Kimu v'kibel. We read a kimu v'kiblu. Kiblu is in the past tense. They observed and they accepted. Hayehudim, Alehem, Vial Zaram, upon them, upon all of their seed, Vial Kol Hanilvim, Alehem, and upon all of the Gerim. This is a very strange pasuk. The pasuk over here says that this holiday that's going to be observed for all future generations is not only going to be observed by the Jewish people, it's also going to be observed by the Gerim, the converts. Why does the pasuk have to say that? Is that not obvious? If a person becomes a ger, he doesn't have to observe tayag mitzvos. So someone is suggesting, fasting chish, that in Echnami, the only thing that a ger, if not for this pasuk, only thing that a ger has to observe is what it says in the Torah. All of the neshamos that were meant to become, all of the neshamos that would ultimately become gerim were present at Har Sinai. But they were not present at the time of Purim.
But the Gemara has a machlokes for Dov by Bakura.
You say Elokei Avos, Elokei Avos Yisrael. It's machlokes in the Mishnah. When you bring Bikurim, can a ger recite? Can a ger say Elokei Avoseinu? Even can a ger when he davens Shmona Esrei? According to one opinion, he says Elokei Avos Yisrael. And when he davens for the Omer, he says Elokei Avosecha, not Elokei Avoseinu. There's a machlokes, but then the Mishnah Paskins, we don't say that. The Rabbanan say no, a ger can always say Avoseinu. But let's take a step back. According to some of the commentators, it's a very fascinating idea that even though it's true that if a ger converts, we pass like the Rabbanan, who are of the opinion that a ger can say Elokei Avoseinu. Avraham was the Av Hamoyim L'chol Goyim, and therefore in every neshama was at Har Sinai. That's all good and fine. Only for things that are included in the Torah Chamish Shechum SheTorah. But the Chagim that were celebrated by made by the Rabbanon, Purim and Chanukah, they were no Gerim. They were not around at that point in time. So someone now who is a descendant, it's later on, but they were not the ones who benefited from this salvation. They were not, I was not a Ger comes forward. He was not, his great-great-grandfather was not Jewish at the time of the miracle of Purim. Therefore, he was not in danger. In fact, he had to gain. He would have inherited all their wealth. What? Afterwards. But the miracle did not affect them. The Gerim attempted to be Misyahadim. We had that discussion. But the people, the Gerim, people who converted after the miracle, were not in danger at the time of the miracle. There was a Gzeru Lahashm Laharagam and it's Kol HaYehudim. These people were not Jewish. The Gzeru did not affect them. They were not slated for destruction. So now, when we are coming to commemorate a holiday that we were saved, so maybe it's not us, but our great 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 grandfather was saved. If this miracle did not happen, I would not be here today. If my great great grandfather would have been killed, I would not be alive today. So every Jew who celebrates this miracle is really celebrating the fact that his great great grandfather survived. But a ger today in 2016 who converts doesn't have to celebrate the holiday of Purim because this holiday did not affect me. Because my great-great-great-grandfather was not in danger at the time of the miracle.
I know one's with a rice man, one's with a bun.
Pesach is Matan Kabbalah Satorah. Pesach, it was given, there's a din of Gerim when it comes to Kabbalah HaTorah. When the Torah was given at Har Sinai, Kol HaTorah was given, which includes any Gerim which come along later on, have an obligation. I sure you have to celebrate Pesach. It's a Gzeris HaKosov. But that Gzeris HaKosov is a Chiddush. Ein L'cho Bo Yosef Mechidusho. If something is novel, you only can apply it to where the Torah says to apply it. It's a big enough Chiddush that a ger has to observe the Moadim. Maybe a ger has to observe the Tayag Mitzvos, the Aseres HaDibros, observe Shabbos, observe Le'Sirtzach, Le'Tignev, Le'Tinov, Le'Sachmoid, okay, all of those things. But does a ger have to observe the Moadim? He has to observe Sukkot, the Nani HaKavod? I didn't benefit from the Nani HaKavod. My great-grandfather didn't benefit from the Nani HaKavod. I have to benefit from Yitzias Mitzrayim. I wasn't a slave in Mitzrayim. I have to benefit, I have to observe these Chagim. The Torah says, Gezeres HaKosiv, you're right. Logically, it does not make sense for you to be required to observe these Chagim, but it's Gezeres HaKosiv. Ein l'cha bo yosef mechidusho. It's enough for a ger to observe what it says in the Torah. They have to observe Purim and Chanukah? That also? So the Megillah here is telling us in an awesome Chiddush. Awesome Chiddush, and that is why it has to be emphasized. Not only do Klal Yisrael have to observe this, the Al Kol HaNilvim Aleihem, all of the Jews, all of the game also have to observe. V'lo Yavar. V'lo Yavar means, and you may not, there's an emphasis, V'lo Yavar, and you may not transgress. There's no way out of this. No one can come along later on and say that it's too difficult. It's too difficult not to go to work on Purim. It's too difficult to observe the mitzvos. Lio so sim, it has to be done. Shnei hayim eile, kichsavam v'chizmanam, what's written about them, and what's v'chizmanam, and what is, according to the dates, b'chol shana v'shna, every single year. This is the chiddush. Let's see the other Rashi. Rashi says Hanilv Malim with the Nivuim Gerim Hasidim leHiskayer Kichsavam. What does it mean? Kichsavam Shetehei Hamegillah Kisuva Ksav Ashuris. Rashi says the very chiddush that don't make a mistake and think that since this Megillah took place in Persia, and in Persia there's a different script, they perhaps used the Ksav Ivri. Or maybe there was the Farsi script, whatever they were using. So maybe since we're going to refer to the holiday Al Shem HaPur, Purim, in the Persian name of the holiday, so maybe we think that the script of the Megillah also should be in Persian. Kamash Malan Kichsavam, the Megillah must be written in Ksav Ashuris. That's the word. Now, this pasuk also is the source of the halacha that you have to lay in the Megillah. In other words, until now we've learned about it. We discussed yesterday all the different steps of the Yom Tov. First, it started out with just Simcha, or Mishteh v'Simcha, and then it went to Mishloach Manos. And then Mordechai said, not only that you have to have also have Matonos Levyonim, but nowhere until this point in time did we ever have a requirement that you have to lane the Megillah. So this v'kimu v'kiblu is an illusion. That, what would it mean v'kimu v'kiblu? Already says kimu v'kiblu. Go back to Pasuk Chav Gimel. In Pasuk Chav Gimel it says v'kibel ha'yehudim eis.
Actually, it doesn't point because it says al ken karu, and then it says al kol divrei ha'geras
eis. No, that's a record of why it was recorded. It was recorded. It was recorded to know what the day is all about. But nowhere until this point in time have we learned there's an obligation to lay in the Megillah. Kimu v'kiblu is coming to be marbe. According to Chazal, this is the makar why you have to lay in the Megillah. Until now, it was only Simcha u'mishte, then Mishloach Manos, then we had the addition of the addition of Matanis Levyonim, and then we have a definition of why it's called Purim. And we have an understanding of why the Megillah was part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. It was put down in record. But who says you have to take out the Megillah every single year and read the Megillah? Kimu v'kiblu. They accepted upon themselves to do something else. And it's alluded to, since it says here, Kichsavam, Ksav Ashuris, it's referring over here that this is the main thing. Every single year, on these 2 days, you have to lane the Megillah. Now, the very important dig, Kimu v'kiblu. We would expect it to say the other way around. It should say, Kiblu v'kimu. What do you do? Before you do something, you have to first commit. You have to first commit, and then you do. So the pasuk seemingly should have been written the other way around. It should have said, Kiblu v'kimu. Because it's written in the reverse order, this has triggered a drasha and chazal, that this was the Kabbalah Satora. Kimu ma shekiblu kvar. They accepted at the time of Purim what they already accepted. They fulfilled at the time of Purim what they already accepted, the Matan Torah. Matan Torah was incomplete until this moment in time. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Klal Yisrael to accept the Torah, Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis, it was only now when they were Mekabel, due to the love of the miracle, they were Mekabel upon themselves the miracle in full force.
It's also the same order as Nasa.
Oh, exactly. That's part of the drasha. It's nasa v'nishma. First they're going to do, and then they're going to accept. The same idea. Nasa v'nishma. That's part of the illusion to refer to kimu ma shekiblu kivar. Okay, and now why is it written b'loshon yachid? Kimu v'kibel. Should the krivach sif? It should really say kimu. It's written kimu v'kibel. Why does it say when we read the kiblu? Because grammatically, it's not grammatically correct. You have to—it's plural. But the reason why it's spelled b'lashon yachid is because vayichan sham yishol neged har ki ish echad b'leiv echad. It was like it just like Kabbalah Satara was ki ish echad b'leiv echad b'achlus. So to this new Kabbalah Satara that took place time upon was also b'achlus. It was b'lashon yachid.
It said yes.
It should say Kiyem and the Kibel. You're right. So what? So Kiyem, Kimu, maybe because Kimu means it was not, and the Derech Pshat, they didn't all do it on the same day. Megillah is Nikreis on 5 days. A Megillah can be read, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Since this pasuk is referring to the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, and it's done on many different days, so the Kimu is done on different days. It has to be written B'Lashon Ram. So one less vart to include why, when it comes to Mikra Megillah. Here is the Makar for Mikra Megillah. And by the way, it makes a lot of sense why pasuk of Zion files from pasuk Chavav, because we just finished explaining the Gemara. The Gemara says that we could not come to Kimu v'Kiblu, a Kabbalah, to read the Megillah unless we know which part of the Megillah we need to read. Previous pasuk says Alkena called the Rehogeres Hazos. The Megillah was put in writing, and then we have Moru'u Al Kochu Mo'igi Alehem. We have a different perspective from Haman's perspective, from Mordechai's perspective, from Achashverosh's perspective, from Mordechai's perspective, and now from whoever's perspective you want to focus on the Megillah, you have the text. You have the perspective. Now, Kimu v'Kiblu, now you have to read the Megillah. There's a sequence. The Megillah is being put in writing. It's being put in writing. From the entire writing, there are many different perspectives in this writing. Kimu v'Kiblu, now you're going to read the Megillah based upon which perspective you want to focus on. Now, why is there a unique halacha with regard to Mikra Megillah that you're not allowed to miss one word? There's no such halacha anywhere else. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, is there really a hakpada, you can't miss one word? It's not true. What? The Balkari can, but you should, even the Balkari, it's not such a big hakpada. There are different madregos. If a person, let's say you have to go to the Beis HaKisei in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, are you mechuyif to go and run to another shul to hear the Ali that you missed? Let's say the Balkari makes a mistake. A Bar Mitzvah boy, he makes a mistake and no one corrects him. Even regular Balkari, are you mechuyif to go crazy to another shul? You're not mechuyif to go. Even the Balkari makes a mistake. People they're obsessed. They're obsessed. You're not mechuyif. Iker hadin. I know. I told you once. I went to visit my brother in Lakewood. And he davens in a very Haredi shul. This was a few years ago. He davens in a very, very Haredi shul. Really, in Lakewood?
Litvish.
Okay. A lot of communities there, they're modern communities in Lakewood also. In the heart of Lakewood, it's not everyone. Not everyone is
spreading out now.
It's a whole different world today. Worse. But we daven, they're all very stark b'nei Torah, very, very real stark b'nei Torah. So he says, "Oh, you're coming for Shabbos? Baruch, good, you're coming for Shabbos. I just want to tell you, just you know, is that if you're very machpin on Kriyas HaTorah, you're not going to be yoytze if you're coming to my shul." I said, "What?" He says, "We'll have a bar mitzvah the Shabbos. We have a bar mitzvah the Shabbos, and I know the bar mitzvah boy. I know the bar mitzvah boy, and I know I heard him already laying already during the week on Monday practicing, and he's good, but he can't get through the whole parsha 100%." And the policy in the shul is, the Rav policy is, for bar mitzvah boys, you don't correct. This is the Rav. The Rav says on a regular Shabbos they won't let the Balkari get through. They won't get the Balkari get through without a mistake. But a bar mitzvah, it's the Rav's policy. You go easy. You go easy on the bar mitzvah boy. No one corrects him. Whatever, people buy the bima, whatever the matzav is. That's the policy. So if you're very makbid on Kriyas HaTorah, so you just daven somewhere else. If you're coming to this shul, you know in advance, this is the situation. It's very interesting. Okay, and this isn't a shul you would never expect such a palace, because even the flapush, some shuls, the rabbanim, they wouldn't let you lay in if you can't get through the parasha perfectly. So it just goes to show, yeah.
A few weeks before the bar mitzvah,
he tests the book.
He says, "I want to hear the bar mitzvah boy."
Right.
And then sometimes he says he's not.
Now allowing it. He's very strict. So this particular Rav, so he told me. So I said, "I have no problem. If it's good enough for the rabbi, it's good enough for me." I'm just trying to point out to you that laning every single word of the Kriyas HaTorah is not Nikar HaDin. Kriyas HaTorah is a din, as you mentioned, Mary, you mentioned the din on the Tzibor. The Klal Yisrael should make sure the parasha is lengthy. So from the collective groups of Klal Yisrael, you can be sure that every single word was lengthy somewhere in Klal Yisrael. In your particular shul, did every single word have to be lengthy with perfection? L'chatchila, yeah. But if you miss a word, okay, so in Klal Yisrael lengthy Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas Megillah is not like that. Megillah, you got to hear every single word. Every single word has to be lengthy. It's not so simple. So therefore, the question is why? Why is the only thing from all of the various learnings that we do the entire year is the only thing Kriyas HaMegillah has to be every single word? So I saw beautiful, beautiful shot. Because this is really the entire essence of what the miracle of Purim is. In Purim, there were hundreds of miracles. Hundreds of events. Each event by itself is nothing more than a coincidence. You can break down the Megillah into 100 different isolated events. In fact, Mitzvos, he actually does that. He breaks it down into like 100 different events. Each one, it's a coincidence. Just a coincidence. You only see the miracle when you have all the coincidences come together. And that's symbolized in being makbid to lane every single word of the Megillah, because you're missing the point. If you're going to miss one word of the Megillah, each word of the Megillah represents an event.
So how come you have different amount of focus when you should start?
Because what do you want to focus on? Whatever you want to focus on. It's not a con. Whatever you want to focus on.
Read it from Vahibi Me'achlish.
Okay, that's the Matzkan. But every word, it's not a kash, because you only want to focus on a certain aspect. You want to, on a certain aspect. But every single word of the Megillah represents an event. And the event by itself has no meaning. But only when everything comes together do you see, wow, do you see the Yad Hashem. That concept is expressed in the Hakpod of every single word. Because if you're missing one word, the whole story doesn't come together. There's a hole in the boat. When it comes to landing on Shabbos, you don't have that problem. Because landing on Shabbos, we're not talking about a miracle. We're talking about an event. We're talking about a mitzvah. We're talking about a hadrach. We're talking about every single thing is isolated. So if you miss one thing, you miss that. Whatever you missed is not going to have any effect on what you did not miss. But in Purim, one little part of the story that's missing, the whole boat sinks. So that's why there's a hakpada to lane every single word in the Megillah. Kimu v'kiblu ha-yehudim aleim yalzaram v'lo yavar. V'lo yavar alludes to that. What's this expression? V'lo yavar. Don't miss. This pasuk is the pasuk that describes the reading of the Megillah. They will mekabel upon themselves, in addition to mishloach manos, matanos levyoinim, and simchas purim, they will mekabel to read the Megillah. To read the Megillah. Every single year. Kimu aleim yalzaram yalkol hanim aleim, and even the geirim have to read the Megillah. V'lo yavar. V'lo yavar in this context means don't even miss one word. Don't miss one word. It's mashal ferish pasuk. Can you imagine the Balkari leaves that?
Don't
focus the 15th. That's a drush. Right? There are many interpretations, but even on one level, if you take this pasuk, it doesn't say it here in the Megillah either. But when you take this pasuk and you look at this pasuk in the which Chazal do in the perspective that this is the pasuk of reading the Megillah, V'lo Yavar means don't miss one single word. It would be funny if these are the two words which the Valkyrie leaves out. And these are the 2 days. The 2 days Kirsavam, it has to be written on a Megillah. The Shnei Hayam Elil, the 2 Ikar days. We know that the Kfardim and the Krachim, they can be Maktim. It's not the Ikar. There's only, the defining date. Kirsavam, make sure your Megillah is Ksav Ashuris. The Chol Shana V'Shana, every single year. Okay, we'll do more tomorrow.